1-800-449-8686. And now, Phil Hendry.
And now the Phil Hendry Show. And here's Phil's take on the news.
You done?
Yeah.
And good evening and welcome. This is, excuse me, I just potted myself down. This is the Phil Hendry Show, and this is Phil Hendry's take on the news for this day, whatever date it is. Nearly three decades after Jimmy Hoffa vanished, a close friend of the former Teamsters boss said he understands the Hoffa family's grief, but not their belief that he is somehow responsible. This disappearance thing is hurting me too, said Charles Chucky O'Brien as he talked to the Palm Beach Post for Sunday's edition. I love the guy. O'Brien was speaking publicly for the first time since the Detroit News reported Friday the FBI found a hair from Hoffa in O'Brien's car, in the car that he was driving on July 30th, 1975, which was the day of Jimmy Hoffa's disappearance. O'Brien denied Hoffa was in the car. He said, quote, I don't know how Jimmy's hair got in that car. No, wait a second. Yes, I do. Now I remember. Yeah, he borrowed the car that day from me. Yeah, that's what happened. In other news, it has been reported now by the Center for Disease Control and the Dallas-based American Heart Association that doctors now recommend if you are suffering heart attack symptoms, do not call 911, just lay there and die. So that's kind of an interesting piece of information, isn't it? A party in a college neighborhood turned calm and boring over the weekend, with revelers putting out fires in the street and randomly repairing cars, leaving alone police officers. Police estimated about 2,500 students were gathered in the streets when some began putting out fires and repairing private property and automobiles that were damaged. Kalamazoo police responded, but they were not pelted with flying objects. There's a little bit of the music. Okay, back to the teletype. Police believe the shooting deaths of two adults and two girls in a house in a quiet neighborhood was a murder-suicide, according to the San Francisco Chronicle, reporting on Monday. There was no sign of forced entry in the house in the city's Bernal Heights district, according to the newspaper. Police had not released any additional information, but are pretty sure that it was a suicide, finding the man bound, with his hands bound with duct tape, his mouth closed with duct tape, and seven close-pattern gunshot wounds to the head. Yep, it was a suicide. He's the co-owner of a Taco Bell and a KFC franchise, but Jeff Bauer became an instant millionaire. He was the 1 millionth customer in a Pennsylvania McDonald's store. When asked why the owner of a Taco Bell and a KFC would be walking into a McDonald's store, he said quite simply, the food at KFC and Taco Bell tastes like doo-doo. JonBenet Ramsey is apparently alive and well and will be hosting this year's Miss America pageant on television. Located in Boulder, Colorado, she said, no, I wasn't beaten to death. That was all just a big misunderstanding. JonBenet will be there with CBS Television to announce the results of the Miss America pageant. Urging people to revel in the joy of the written word, First Lady Laura Bush officially opened the first National Book Festival on Saturday by reading excerpts from William Burroughs' Naked Lunch. As she began reading excerpts from the book, which features graphic homosexuality and drug addiction, she said, oops, wrong book. The former Air Force One, made its final flight, yes, on Sunday. The great Air Force One, a plane that flew many presidents down through the years, capped nearly three decades of service as it carried President Bush to a news conference in Texas. And by way of celebrating the final year of service, the guy pointed it right toward the runway and crashed and burned the entire aircraft with the president on board. Nobody was hurt. Whatever. State park rangers found a rental car hired by Ronaldo Herrera Rodriguez, the man involved in killing three people in a Simi Valley neighborhood this week, and by accident found Rodriguez's dead body. It seems a sheriff deputy who was cleaning his gun accidentally shot him, and so that's where that's at. He didn't mean to shoot him, he just... President Bush opened the professional football season Sunday with a coin toss at the White House. The reason for this is because they're using replacement referees who don't know how to do a coin toss. So they asked the president, who said it was tails. A lot of players thought he was lying. Many players, including Javon Kersee of the Tennessee Titans, said, how do we know it was tails? We got to take his word for it just because he's president? I think the whole thing's bogus. I'm still typing the news. Hold on. A forest fire that destroyed 26 phones, homes and the telephones in them and forced hundreds of people to evacuate apparently wasn't a forest fire at all. It was just some guy who had set out dry ice to make it look like it was really smoky and then started rubbing plastic cellophane together to make it sound like fire. So it wasn't a fire. Just plastic cellophane being rubbed together. A man fatally shot his mother and two other people before surrendering to authorities early Monday. In other news, a man fatally shot his father and one other person before surrendering to authorities early Monday. And another guy fatally shot his brother and four other people before surrendering to authorities early Monday. A woman fatally shot her sister and five other people before surrendering to authorities on Monday. Then an alleged stalker forced his way into the workplace of a psychiatric nurse on Sunday and fatally shot her. An alleged stalker also forced his way into the workplace of a paddle tennis instructor and fatally shot him before committing suicide. And finally, an alleged stalker forced his way into the workplace of a telephone operator and fatally shot him or her on either Sunday or Saturday before shooting him or himself, or herself, itself. Yep, it's been confirmed that twin-engine plane that was carrying Aaliyah was overloaded. They reported it was overloaded last Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and today they are reporting it was indeed overloaded. They also confirmed there were eight people on board, and they're pretty sure one of them was Aaliyah. Stay tuned tomorrow. We'll have news as to whether or not she was there. Six people died and four were injured when Paul McCartney insisted on reading his poetry in London this past weekend. Sir Paul McCartney insisted on reading his poetry at Covent Garden despite repeated warnings that people would die listening to his boring lyrics. People failed to leave the area even though police tried to get them to leave. As a result, six people died, four were injured, four more overcome by his rotten poetry. The 9 millionth remake of The Three Musketeers topped box office receipts this past weekend. Yes, The Three Musketeers, The Musketeer, even The Two Musketeers had been released last year, but none did as well as The Three Musketeers. Next year, The One Musketeer is going to be released. As a matter of fact, this one's called The Musketeer, isn't it? And then there's The Musketeers. The United Nations Racism Conference has ended and has finally determined that blacks did it to themselves. Yes, a racism conference sponsored by the United Nations in South Africa has concluded that blacks enslaved themselves, transported themselves to America, bought a whole bunch of plantations, and then forced themselves into slavery, and then eventually developed the Jim Crow law and made themselves sit by themselves at lunch counters. Britain's Queen Mother apparently cannot die. It's been determined she's now 101 years of age and there's no end in sight. Scientists have determined that she's made of durable titanium. And she'll never die. How about that? Japan may have Asia's first case of mad cow disease. According to the government, they cited tainted feed from Europe as a possible cause. It's also, according to the British, payback for World War II. In a related story, Japan's economy continues to suffer. The Nikkei flirts with 11,000. Payback for World War II. The United States and Britain attacked two daycare centers, a nursery, and a child's birthday party featuring clown entertainment with F-16 fighters and British Tornado bomber jets. In yet another airstrike on Iraq, U.S. official policy is to no longer go after military targets, but instead target three-year-old birthday parties in places like that. Also, milk factories is a big favorite. said the United States Air Force, that's what they think and that's what they say we're attacking. We might as well go ahead and do it. Small-town Americans tend to smoke more, lose more teeth, and die sooner, according to the Center for Disease Control. A driving tour through some of America's smallest cities confirmed that most of the people that live in small towns do indeed smoke, don't have a lot of teeth, and there are a lot of dead bodies laying around, according to representatives from the CDC. And finally, here on Phil Hendry's Take on the News, nearly one-fourth of Kentucky's counties have Ten Commandments displayed in public buildings. But they've also determined that only one-half of 1% of the citizens of Kentucky actually follow the Ten Commandments. Oh, and by the way, a 4.2 earthquake jolted Los Angeles over the weekend. No one seemed to care. This is Phil Hendry. Oh, here's one other story. I'm awfully sorry. President Clinton warned Australians that global warming could cause some small Pacific nations to disappear beneath the ocean and giant lizards to rise up out of the ocean and attack downtown areas. President Clinton, looking feverish and speaking in an impassioned way to a large audience, said, "If global warming continues, giant lizards and insects could attack the downtown sections of major cities, breathing fire and melting buildings." That's it. That's Phil Hendry's Take on the News for today. Whatever the hell the date is, it's a Monday, though, we know that, on The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
All right, well, we're continuing to refine our Phil Hendry's Take on the News thing. I don't know whether I should ad-lib that or make notes. When I make notes, I can't read them. Ad-lib it, I just ad-lib it. I'm gonna go back the way originally was. I'm just going to ad-lib that. Just read it cold. Just take the stories. Just, hey, will you do me a favor, Mike, when we pull the news for the day? Just pull what you think would the best stories, not necessarily like rampage stories and stuff, because I don't know whether that's like shtickeroo or not. Maybe it is. I don't know. We are going to do some shtick with it later on, but that's neither here nor there. By the way, speaking of news, and this is a thought that I think is valuable. It's coming from a guy that isn't all that bright, but just I want to lay this out there. This is the Phil Hendry Show, and of course, we deal with our sort of take on the news. We do a satirical view of the news and the human experience by creating characters and interacting with those characters in kind of a theatrical way, and then people call in, yada, yada. If you've listened to the show before, you know what we're talking about. And if you haven't listened to the show before and you think this is just a talk show, that, you know, like all others, then you really kind of need to stick around because you don't know what you've stumbled upon here. But in any event, what I wanted to say was, how come we have to read the news? I'm not saying me read the news on the show. Why do we, in general, as humans, have to watch the news or read the newspaper? Why? Give me one good reason. There isn't any. There's none. I've already thought this out. So it's a rhetorical question more than anything else. There is no reason to read the news. None. There's only one area that I would think might be valuable. That's people in business. But that's just looking at a stock ticker. And that's just sort of looking at individual areas. There's no need to read a newspaper. The only reason why people read newspapers and watch news programs, you want to know why? So they can get good and nervous for the day. So they can get good and constipated for the upcoming week. That's it. The one constant thing in the history of man that has made everything just such a cluster bang is everybody reading newspapers. You don't have to read newspapers to do your job. If you're a newsman, yeah, but the only reason why you're reading the news as a newsman is to read the news to people that don't need to hear you read it in the first place. So why do you pick the newspaper up in the morning and read it? Why do you watch CNN? CNN's the worst thing to happen to the world in the last 20 years. The worst, single worst. AIDS doesn't even come close. CNN is worse than AIDS in the entire fabric of society. Leprosy, first it's CNN, AIDS, and then leprosy. Those three are the top killers, in my opinion. If we didn't have CNN, we would be fine. And I say that with all due respect to the great Bobby Batista, who we sent birthday wishes to last month, and she actually sent us an email back saying, gee, I sometimes listen to your show. It's, yeah, it's great. Signed, Bobby. But, you know what I'm saying? You guys think I'm joking around. I'm not. Don't read the newspaper, don't read the news, and you're way better off. Well, do you want me to be stupid, Phil? No, did I say I want you to be stupid? Did I say don't read history? No, I didn't do that. Did I say don't read math and science? No, I didn't do that. Did I say don't study economics? Did I say any of that? No. History, read. That's the news 5 years old, okay? So if you want to read the news, read it like 6 years after it happened, at least. Because people run around and go ape. Did you hear? No, what happened? The tuna treaty wasn't ratified with Canada. Oh, God, now great. I was having a great day and you had to lay that on me. Yeah, it's all messed up, man. Well, God, man, I was feeling good. Did you hear the latest? What? The Palestinians and the Jews, they're killing each other. Oh, man, I got diarrhea now. Why did you have to tell me that? Well, why are you upset about it? I don't know. It makes me nervous. People killing each other. It's got nothing to do with your life, right? No, it doesn't, but I... Look at you. I got you all wound into a knot, you idiot. Ha, ha, ha. Hey, did you hear all about the replacement referees in the NFL? Oh, no, not that. Yeah. Hey, by the way, that replacement referee thing, you guys have got to be kidding me. First of all, you should give those refs that are out on strike everything they want. Then you should unionize them. And then... make them full-time. Because I've been watching football for years, so don't give me this baloney. Nobody has ever been happy with NFL officiating. And all of a sudden, on the front page of the paper this morning, and all of these clowns on the sports shows, oh, these refs, man. What are you guys talking? You've never been happy with the refs in the NFL. You're putting me on every year to some bellyaching about the instant replay. Every year, some guy blew a call. Another guy did this. Another guy did that. Oh, the referee, oh, the official, oh, it sucks. They're never happy with it, whether they got the full-time guys or the part-time guys or these replacement guys. As far as I'm concerned, it's just another season. But what they ought to do and what they won't do, because the National Football League is the single largest fascist entity in the history of the United States outside of the FBI and CIA. You got FBI, CIA, NFL, LBJ, Hike. The single largest fascist, money-grubbing, capitalist Nazi enterprise, and I'm being very literal, is the National Football League. Oh, I don't care whether there's black players and white players. The black players are just a bunch of pack of Nazis as the white ones. The NFL is so cheap, such a bunch of bloodsuckers, such a bunch of money grubbers. Those guys are making billions, and they're sticking it to these refs who are making, 250 G's a year. Yeah, that sounds like a lot of money, right? In comparison to some of the change these guys are pulling down, that's chicken feed. Now, I don't know what the top guy gets. You know, Mike, somewhere in the neighborhood of about 100 and a half, 200 a year, that's the top guy. That's crap compared to the money that they're pulling in. But why do they do that? Because they can get away with it. Because they can get away with abusing these guys. And then, of course, if you got a back judge who's in the middle of a running play or a pass over the middle or a slant play, that guy's got to take a hit from a 300-pound linebacker, and he weighs, 160, and he's 65 years old, and he's like an insurance executive during the week, and he gets leveled by Javon Kersey, bleeding from the ears. Oh, I'm fine. Everything's great. This is what this guy has to deal with, and he's making crap money, and then they go out on strike in hopes that they might be able to squeeze a couple of nickels out of these Nazis that run the NFL, and of course, no, we're going to hold the line. That's our last final offer. Take it from me. I used to be a shop steward. Whenever they say that's our last final offer, that's crap too. I used to be a union rep. The one thing we used to laugh at is when management would say, that's it, that's our final offer. Oh yeah, well watch this. Then you walk. And they come back to the table. They probably won't get what they want, and they sure won't get what they deserve, but they'll bring these guys back. But if they had any shred of integrity in that league, which of course they don't, they would hire these guys on full-time, unionize them, and then not have any problems. Because do you see Major League Baseball having these problems with officiating? Do you see Major League umpires be under the gun for bad officiating? The answer is an unequivocal, I don't know. 1-800-449-8686. That's one idiot's opinion. I'm Phil Hendry. We'll be right back.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Sacramento again in the news with another rampage. This was by a former security guard wanted in the slayings of five people. He shot himself to death after a high-speed chase and shootout today, correct? Capping a weekend of violence. His name was Joseph Ferguson. He killed himself in a stolen car after claiming five lives by late Sunday. Now, this is the second time that that city has been involved in something gruesome like this. Dr. Robert Green joins us. He is a criminologist and consults with a variety of metropolitan police agencies across the country. Dr. Green, thanks for being with us on such short notice.
My pleasure.
Do you have a view on this as to what this phenomenon is being prompted by?
I think the Sacramento shootings, as well as the school shootings, I think they're all prompted by possibly the same thing. And this is a psychological factor that a lot of these men are dealing with, being physically undersized. My understanding is the autopsy confirms what we feared, and that was that Mr. Joseph Ferguson, who was the latest of these rampage killers who killed himself today while being enclosed by the police, had undersized genitals, and this could have led to some rage.
All right, now this is a brand spanking new phenomenon to me. Is this some kind of a syndrome?
It's too early to call it a syndrome, but I think there is enough consistent evidence, at least in this man's case. The autopsy, I did think, showed that he had severely undersized genitalia, and this could have led to some rage. Almost all of these rampage-type killers are sexually underendowed. That Ukrainian, who I believe was from Sacramento, Phil?
Yes. And this is from the autopsy?
These are the autopsies that I've looked at, yeah.
No, the Ukrainian isn't dead.
No, not the Ukrainian. I'm just saying I'm speculating the Ukrainian. I'm talking about the guy today.
All right, but you're speculating that it's possible this Ukrainian, who is in police custody, also has an undersized reproductive organs?
That is correct. And the guy at Simi Valley, who I believe shot himself, he had a small one. And those two kids, the Klebold and Harris?
Yeah.
That was also confirmed. They were, yeah, it was pathetic. So what you're dealing with are guys that, you know, the rage builds up, not so much because they can't have normal sexual relations with a woman, but because they can't literally go to the bathroom without tweezers and a microscope.
The tweezers and a microscope.
That's right.
Now, hang on. We have on the line, is this lady with you, Mike? Clara Bingham, who claims to have been a former girlfriend of Joseph Ferguson. Now, this is the guy that was encircled by police and shot himself today. Ms. Bingham is on the phone from Sacramento. Now, you, ma'am, are you there? You are a former girlfriend of Mr. Ferguson, the rampage killer up there in Sacramento?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, how long did you date him?
About 6 months. He was a bit younger than me.
How old are you?
I'm 38.
38. And you heard what the doctor said about him being undersized?
Yes, I did. Is that true, Ms. Bingham?
Yeah, well, he was not as developed as, I suppose, other men. And while it is true he was below average, I don't think, though, that had anything to do with why he did what he did.
But you can confirm he had a small penis.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, well, you don't think it had anything to do with it?
No, I don't.
What can you lend to this?
Well, first of all, you need to know that I am overweight. And when I told Joe...
How overweight are you, ma'am? This Dr. Green.
I weigh 210 pounds.
210 pounds. How tall are you?
I'm 5'9".
All right. Go ahead.
I told him that I didn't want him coming around no more. He got upset.
You said you... Did you dump him?
Yes. And he made the comment to me that he felt lower than whale crap, I guess the way you put it.
Lower than whale crap. Why?
Because he said there was nothing more humiliating than to be dumped by a fat woman. So... then he started going out with this other woman, and she dumped him, too, and I wouldn't be surprised that she was overweight, too.
So what are you saying?
I think it's something I always knew about Joe, that I'm overweight. And it's tough for me to say this, but when you have a small penis and two fat women dump you, you probably just snap.
All right, so you believe that this guy Ferguson up in Sacramento went on a shooting rampage because
Because he'd been dumped by one too many fat women. Having a small penis is pretty tough for him. Phil, I can confirm at least part of this. One of the reasons why I got into the study of into criminology and associated criminal psychology is because I am not a very large man myself. Now, I'm not trying to...
Well, doctor, I don't want to talk about you or anything.
No, I don't want to bring myself into this, but I had to overcome these feelings myself. And you can feel homicidal when you are small and then some fat woman dumps you. It's humiliating, I understand that.
It's very humiliating, huh?
That is correct.
So you believe this guy, so he went on a rampage
because... Because having a small penis was tough for him. But getting dumped by two fat women, that's probably, that's way over the line. You can have a small genitalia, but not one, but two fat women within 6 months of each other tell you to get lost. That's got to be bad.
Well, from your experience, Dr. Green, you say that you aren't, and I don't even know why I don't even want to talk about you, but you're saying that could really make a guy go homicidal?
Make him go in the lexicon postal, that's right. If you can think about this, Phil, from the standpoint of just an objective position, and any man listening to your broadcast right now, think about how absolutely embarrassing it would be to, first of all, take all kinds of guff from your friends for going out with a fat woman, and then she dumps you, and you have to explain that to your friends. Now it happens one time. You go home, you hug a pillow, you drink too much. Those are the normal reactions. Now it happens twice inside of 6 months. Yeah, a guy could pick up a gun.
That's what I think happened.
So he went nuts because he was dumped by two fat women.
Ms. Bingham...
I just want to... This is what the two of you are concluding.
Well, that's what I'm concluding, Phil.
I don't know. I just... I had thought about Joe from that standpoint, and so...
Ms. Bingham, this is Dr. Green. Would you suggest that police start looking at men who are currently... dating heavy women?
Well, I would say that as potential rampage suspects.
Yes, that's correct.
Well, what is wrong with getting dumped by a fat woman? What's too humiliating to take, right?
Yes, that's exact. You can get dumped by a fashion model and figure that's going to happen, but because maybe you don't have a lot of money. But getting dumped by a fat woman, it doesn't get much lower than that. And a Sacramento rampage suspect, I think I got asked by too many fat women. And too many fat women want him out of their lives.
And you were one of them.
I was one of them, that's right.
All right, we are talking to Clara Bingham, who is, by her own admission, overweight. She dated Joseph Ferguson, who is the rampage suspect in Sacramento. She feels that he went out of his mind.
Went nuts.
He went nuts because...
I mean, that's the only way you can see it.
Thank you, doctor. He went nuts because he got dumped by two fat women within 6 months of each other, and...
undersized.
And physically undersized. 1-800-449-8686. We appreciate you calling in, Ms. Bingham. Can you stay on the line with us?
Yes, I can.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Clara Bingham, former girlfriend of this Sacramento Rampage suspect, and Dr. Robert Green, a criminologist. Two things at work here. Perhaps a physical, an under-endowment physically on the part of this man, Mr. Ferguson, as well as being dumped by two overweight women, led him to what happened. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
This is the Phil Hendry Show.
I can tell you this, Phil.
By the way, this is Dr. Robert Green on the Phil Hendry Show, criminologist. Go ahead. We're talking about the rampage suspect who killed himself today, the Sacramento guy?
That's correct.
Go ahead.
Well, I can tell you that, first of all, the overwhelming majority of men who are undersized, who have undersized genitalia, are white men. And
now, how can you prove that?
I can prove that because the overwhelming majority of individuals who go on shooting sprees are white. See, this is the extrapolation that one makes.
Now, Dr. Covers and Dr. Williams at Willoughby University in Indiana first began to quantify this. Insofar as small genitalia make you go on a shooting rampage, and insofar as most of the shooting rampage suspects are white men, it therefore follows that they all have small penises. And it also therefore follows that they have dated at one time or another and been dumped by large African-American women.
Doctor, this is Clara Bingham.
Now, we have Clara Bingham, who is a former girlfriend of Joseph Ferguson. Go ahead, Clara.
Yes. I had always primarily stayed within my race.
When you were dating?
That is correct. And I decided to date, not that I made a conscious effort to date white men, but I did. And they all had small manhood.
They were all small.
That's correct.
But not all of them went out on a shooting rampage.
Yeah, see, that's what that's the point. Just because a guy is undersized.
No, but you have to understand, when you combine the fact that a guy has a small one and is dumped by a fat black woman,
then there's trouble.
Did you know this would happen, Clara?
No, I didn't, but now everything's making sense. And so I would say simply this, that as I look at my own life, I will never date a white man with a small penis again.
And dump him.
And dump him, that's correct. And I can tell you that I dumped Joe in part due to the fact that he was a skinny white man with no package.
Well, there you go, Phil.
So Klebold and Harris and all of these guys, they were all white guys with small ones.
That's it. So what we're going to try and certainly in the next 50 years to 100 years do in terms of genetic engineering is eliminate this virus, if you will, this criminal mental virus of white guys with small penises going on shooting rampages.
Well, how are you going to do that? By genetically engineering them?
By genetically engineering them to have, you know, pretty good package there. It's the only thing that we can think of. Because every last one of these white guys just doesn't have it going on down there.
Well, that's starting to make sense to me.
So you're not going to date any white guys anymore with small ones?
No, I will not.
And so there it is. Dr. Green, I appreciate very much you joining us and also being forthcoming enough to say that you have this problem.
Yes, I do. And rather than go out and shoot somebody, I decided to become a psychiatrist. And
I guess you could do equal damage either way.
Well, that's very funny, but yeah, it's true. I could mess people up either way.
All right. Dr. Green, thank you very much. Ms. Bingham, I also appreciate you calling in, having the courage to call in with just to tell us about your life with Joe Ferguson and the fact that... Do you feel responsible at all?
No, I don't.
That you dumped him?
No, I know that by dumping him, I probably caused him to go out and shoot people, but I don't...
Clara, what are you doing Friday night, by the way?
Well, I will...
Okay, well, why don't you guys just get together on that one? Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Henry. Flashback.
Yeah, I'm just calling in. You know, I've been married for 46 years.
All right.
And it's a very compatible marriage. And the reason I think it's successful is because I let my wife do whatever she wants to do, and
that's
I do whatever I want to do.
Wait a minute.
And yet we put time together. We go on trips. We have a good time.
You let your wife run wild?
I make decisions outside the house. My wife makes decisions inside the house.
Well, but you don't let your wife.
I watch TV. I watch football.
What do you watch on TV?
Baseball.
Do you watch
her own TV set.
Candid camera.
We're very happy and very compatible. And I think
you don't let your wife. You don't let your wife run wild in the streets, though, do you? Of course you don't. You make her do.
She's got too much class to do that.
Well, don't you make her do stuff? Don't you tell her to go?
Unless she does anything.
Well, how do you get stuff done?
She has her freedom. I have my freedom.
Jim.
And we're very, very happy to be married.
Jim, this is Dean. Do you nurture her?
Of course I don't nurture her. I mean,
she
doesn't need nurturing.
Are you
mean to her? For 46 years we've been married. You're sick. Both of you are sick.
Why do you figure I'm sick when I'm just asking, are you mean to her? Or do you
When you talk about scrapping things on and things like that, you're sick.
Yeah, well, this guy's a sick.
You are absolutely sick.
Absolutely right, Jim. I agree with this, Coach Dozier. And I would say that... All you need, Jim, is the courage to say to her, get in there and make me some bean dip.
I don't have to do that. Hey, you're telling me I've been married for 46 years and very happily.
My wife and I...
And the way the decisions are made is I make all decisions outside the home. My wife makes the decisions inside the home. We're very, very happy. I can do anything I want in my home.
I think you do everything right.
And she can do anything she wants.
I think you do everything right except for one thing. You should also make the decisions inside the home.
Yeah, well, I think you're wrong.
Well...
My wife and I watch television together, but only designing women and Oprah.
Man, I got enough things to do outside the home than worry about what's inside
the home.
Jim,
what kind of television shows do you watch with your wife, if I could ask you?
Anything she wants to watch.
Okay, do you
when
watch
football and baseball's not on?
Do you watch
when
designing
football
women?
Football and baseball's on, I watch football and baseball.
Yeah, but you don't watch designing women and Oprah, do you?
Course not.
Okay, there.
Well, you should. No, you should.
They're
you
both
should
sick programs.
Oh, you should watch Designing Women because it helps you immerse yourself into the softening lotion.
Man, I'll tell you, buddy.
You
need a psychiatrist.
I do.
You need a
psychiatrist. I have respect
you
for the inner
sister. You are probably the wimpiest person I've ever talked to in my life. I mean, an absolute wimp.
I think that's a cruel comment. I think that was
designed
to...
Sometimes facts hurt, pal, but that's the way it is.
Well, I think it's a comment designed to minimize me as a human, and you should
that's
be
exactly
bolstering
right.
me. You should
that's
bolster
exactly
me.
Right. You are minimized as a human.
Well, have you discovered the inner sister?
Jesus.
What? I don't understand.
I can't believe you.
How
long have you been married?
I've been married 4 years. We have been in rapport.
Well,
four
tell
years.
Me about it 40 years from now. I'll guarantee you one thing.
Wait a minute. I got to ask
whip
you.
Of all time.
Hey, Dean.
They won't last because. Your wife will have so
we're
much
going
control
through our
over
purification.
Sick.
Jim, we're going through our purification. We're not married yet, but we go through a 4-year purification. After that, we are in rapport, and then we have our unification. We don't call it marriage, because marriage is for chattel.
Again, that's
and,
against my beliefs. And,
but I think that there's nothing sick with wanting to touch the inner female
the most
cousin.
Sick person I've ever talked to.
Yeah, that's what I think, too. And I think all you got to do, Jim, with these women... And this guy,
hey,
Dean.
You're too chauvinistic, Lou.
What did I do?
You are too chauvinistic.
All
you
I want to do is
dictate to your wife.
You just, look,
if you
got
want to have a happy
game.
Marriage.
Wait a minute.
Your wife could make their decisions and I make my decisions.
Let me tell you how it is in my house, just so you know, okay? I was watching Raiders, Baltimore Ravens last year, AFC Championship game. I think you know the game I'm talking about.
Yes, I do.
And I had to go to the bathroom. And I will tell you, my wife cared enough about me as a man and my foot. She brought a pan in, and I was able to relieve myself in a pan. In
you
our
got
family,
a, you got a problem
boy,
with the commercial?
That is so wrong.
I mean, I don't need my wife
to
bring in
it?
A pan. I could just wait for a commercial. You know, you,
like,
I mean, you,
I got
you,
hold
that,
it.
You got a hell of a bad.
Wait a minute, you're sitting there, you're peeing into a pan in your family room because your wife brought it to you.
That's the kind of control I've got over her. You better believe
well,
it.
That's unfortunate.
Well,
I mean,
I don't
I
think
feel
that's
sorry
very...
for your wife, and I still feel sorry for this jerk off that's talking to you.
Well,
that or my wife would have to carry the TV into the bathroom.
Yeah.
See?
Well, I think you're both mean, and I'm going to go discover my inner nun.
Well, go discover it. Go discover it and have a good time.
Your inner nun.
Because I think you're about 9/10 bagger to start with.
Okay. That's cruel, man.
Phil Hendry. Flashback.
Hey, don't forget to visit the Phil Hendry website, philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. And when you go to the Phil Hendry website, you'll find our, among other things, Phil Hendry Polls America. Every day we ask a poll question. The all-time cool-looking NFL helmet, and we have it displayed for you. If you just click on view to, click to view, you can see the different helmets. And right now, Oakland Raiders is leading the, I believe they're leading something like, I don't know what, I think they're like 21% to, the second place one is the Tampa Bay Buck helmet, which is the most silly looking thing I've ever seen. Anyway, Phil Hendry Show will be right back. 1-800-449-8686.